do we? We want to be able to access the authority that we have in God's Word. The weapons of your warfare won't do you a lot of good if you don't know how to put them into action. Not one bit. Remember, you need to know how to use your weapons because we're not in a parade. We're in a war, aren't we? And sometimes we act like we're in a parade. This thing really struck a chord with me. So anyway. Too many of us parade into the church every Sunday and then march home, and the truth of God never really gets into our lives. I put that in there because it's the truth, isn't it? It's the truth. The world sees it, and we know it. We go to church, we hear the word, but we do nothing with it. We're going through trials and struggles, and we still go to the world many times looking for our help when it's right here. It's in the Word of God. It's all right there. People like that are no threat to Satan, and he knows it. Satan is not afraid of the church that has no fire in its belly, has the word that do not rely on the Word of God. Satan isn't scared of that church one bit. He loves an entertaining church. But I tell you what, you get a church full of people that are on fire and they know the Word of God and they walk in it and talk in it and live in it during the week, those people are a threat to Satan's kingdom. And therefore, you're going to have spiritual warfare. Amen? When we do that, we become complacent and apathetic in our spiritual life. There's six pieces of offensive, defensive weaponry God has equipped with us, and it's found in Ephesians 6, 10 through 17. And I'm just going to read them. I'm not going to get into them today, but it's the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes shod with the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. Those are the weapons that God specifically told us in His Word is what we use against that spiritual warfare in our life. Many Christians don't even use it. They don't even think about it. You know, the Apostle Paul doesn't stop writing there because in the very next verse, he gives us the secret to using this great authority in God that God has made available to us, and it's found in Ephesians 6:18 in that same chapter. It says, praying always. You know, Wednesday night, we had a prayer meeting in here, and I thank God for those who were able to make it and everything, but I tell you what, every time we miss an opportunity when we have it, we're missing out what God wants to do in our life. Did you know that every time that you and I pray, see, those prayers that were prayed here that last Wednesday night are in the heavenlies right now and they're working. Because God says, I not only hear your prayers, I answer them. That's why prayer time is important. And when we call for prayer, we understand some people can't because of schedules and everything. But if you just stay away because you just don't want to do it and you're too lazy, you miss out. You miss what God wants to do because the Lord, I believe in my heart that the prayers that we prayed Wednesday night are at work even right now in the ear of God. And He's doing a work on behalf of those prayers. Isn't that awesome to think we have a God like that? He just doesn't hear them and say, oh, wasn't that nice? That was sweet. They were so religious. He doesn't say that. See, from God's perspective, He sees the warfare. He sees all the spiritual things that are happening in your and my life and in this world right now. He sees the activity of the demons of hell and Satan himself making preparation, thinking he's taking over. The devil is. And he isn't because he doesn't realize that yet. He's, you know, he had his head crushed way back then and he hadn't figured it out yet. See, it says, pray in 6:18 again, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The definition for supplication is the addressing of a humble request, a petition, an appeal, and prayers to somebody with the power to grant them. Did you hear that? With the power to grant them. That's why it's always good to go to the Lord, isn't it? He's got the power to grant those prayers. It is a prayer that gains you access to the authority you need for victorious warfare. Prayer is the way you get dressed for battle, brothers and sisters. Prayer is the way we get dressed. And why is it? Is that is the very thing that we do the less of as the body of Christ. And then we wonder why we have a weak church. You know, it takes work to come before God and to pray. But it's the very thing we do less, and it's the very thing Paul is talking about that access our authority into those weapons and are able to destroy the enemy in our life. We have to remember that. In our spiritual warfare, number one, the significance of prayer. There's a story of an emperor who had no clothes. That's the way a lot of us go around spiritually today. We were basically naked, unclothed, because prayer is not a dynamic, vital, potent, consistent, controlling, and self-encompassing reality in our Christian lives today. One of the first things a commander tries to do in warfare is to establish superiority in the air. Whoever controls the air war usually controls the war and suffer fewer casualties. One of our problems is that the church is suffering a lot of casualties on the ground because we haven't established superiority in the air, in the heavenly places where the real warfare is taking place. That's where it's really taking place. And many Christians walk around defeated today. There's no joy, there's no excitement, there's no victory in their life because one thing, they've got their self-focus too much on themselves instead of on the weapons of our warfare that it talks about in Ephesians, and then we stay away from prayer. Many times, I know Christians who that they go around and they complain about their problems week after week after week after week. They say the same thing over and over because they haven't learned to pray and access the authority that God has had. Because I tell you what, if I go to you, Brother Rick, every week and tell you all my problems, all my issues, week after week, for one thing, you're going to say, oh, no, pull the shades, honey, he's coming. You know, you're going to do that. But I tell you what. When I go to the Lord, I get action because he can't do anything for me. Satan knows that. He loves it when we go around complaining. I'm not talking when we share our problems. We need to do that one with another. We need to share our burdens. I'm talking about consistently, habitually, week after week, week after week after week, year after year. I miss month after month. But when we do that, we need to go to the Lord because he is the one who can grant the answer to our prayer. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And even in sickness, many times if you have an illness in your body and the doctor seemingly cannot say, there's nothing wrong with you, we can't find anything. Whenever a doctor says that to me, then I know that I'm in a spiritual battle. I know I am. And many times, you know, those things when I thought I was a goner, I'm still here. Why? Because that was a spiritual battle, so I went to prayer and stood on the Word of God, and that's where I'm in today. Because he's the answer, he's got the answer, and it's in his Word, and we gain that through prayer. See, there's a big difference between an earthly army and the church. An earthly army has to go out and win the air war to establish superiority. But Jesus Christ has already won the spiritual war and has established superiority for all eternity. It's a done deal. Isn't it fun to serve Jesus? It's a done deal. Whatever's going on in your life, you can take to Jesus in prayer because he's got the answer. He's already established superiority in this world for all eternity for you and I. Our task is to take the superiority we have and use it to win our battles because it's already done. That's important because it's possible to lose a battle even when you have superior weapons, don't we? Even though we've got the Word of God, even though we've got everything that Jesus said you need to win the victory, many Christians drown out. They fade away because Satan got the best of them because they didn't go to the Lord in prayer and access the authority of the weapons that God has given us to make it through this whole world. And some of them walk totally away from Jesus. They won't even darken a church door anymore. They won't even come in. See, it's great when we come to Jesus as our Lord and Savior, but we need to do that, but the Lord isn't concerned so much about in the middle as he is when we get to the end. Because we'll come to an end. And that's where Christians don't understand it, that the battle that rages in our life many times will come to an end when we stand on the Word of God. But if we have doubt in our hearts and we doubt the very God of our lives, then we're going to be fighting harder and longer, I think. We're going to stay in that wilderness much longer because we don't trust the Lord. That's what happened to Israel. God had everything they had needed. He even had a flashlight on them. That's Lynn saying that. That's not in the Bible, by the way. You know, fire cloud and fire guiding them through the wilderness day and night. He had everything they needed. Their shoes and their clothes didn't even wear out. He took care of everything. But what were they? They were complainers and murmurers. That's all they did. Rather than saying, thank you, Father. Thank you for this. Thank you for my shoes, for my feet, so that my feet don't get destroyed in the sand and all the other things. Instead of doing those things, they complained and they murmured. They didn't stand in prayer. And the Father was guiding and leading them every step of the way in their very presence. And they couldn't even acknowledge that. And we're doing the same thing today in the body of Christ. We have God with us, right with us, living within us. And we still complain and murmur about things around us instead of going to Him. And then when we walk through the trials and the struggles of earth, we go to the Father and say, Father, you see where I'm at, and I'm going to make it because this is what your word says. And Lord, I'm going to put on the belt of truth today because I feel the sense of deceit in my life today by the people around me. So I need the truth of your word, and I'm going to stand on that, and I'm going to trust you, Lord, and I'm going to put on the breast of righteousness, your righteousness, not mine, because I have none, but it's your righteousness, because I feel that I've failed you, Lord, and I seem like I keep failing you, and I come before you. And so to defeat this failure in my life, I put on that breastplate of righteousness, and I stand before you, Father, and I walk in victory today. Hallelujah! That's what the Lord wants us to do. That's victory, amen? That's victory. See, we can read about Jesus, his wondrous life in public, and his secret life of prayer. The disciples learned to believe in him as a master in the art of prayer. None could pray like him, though. It says in Luke 11:1, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. You see, Jesus does what he admonished Martha to do, have fellowship with the Father. How many of us have fellowship with the Father? Literally, truly, how many of us really do? Which Mary did. John 11:41 says, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Whew. You got to look at Jesus here. He already knew that Lazarus is going to come raised from the dead because he was in communion with the Father through prayer. And he already knew the Father heard him, so he thanked him in advance before Lazarus even came out of that tomb. And that's what you and I need to do to remind you again. We need to thank God for the answer when we come before him. We need to thank him up front that he's already done it in the heavenly realm where the warfare is raging. He's already accomplished it. We need to do that. The disciples had been watching Jesus and had come to know that his prayers were always heard. The disciples saw that. They said, every one of them are prayer. How many of us can say that God has answered every one of our prayer? See, sometimes he has and we just don't know it and we forgot it. And many times if God isn't answering a prayer, we need to look at ourselves and not start complaining and griping about the Lord. Amen? See, when I get to heaven and the things that I thought should have been answered or done the way I thought they should, I'm sure not going to walk before this creator of mine that created my very being, old Dusty Lynn. I'm not going to stand before him and complain. I'm going to say, Lord, what did I do or didn't do properly in order to miss what you had for me on this earth? I'm going to blame it on me, not on God. Because he's already accomplished everything that you and I need in this world. Amen? Amen? Look at somebody and say, man, am I getting excited. See, this created hunger in the disciples. Jesus praying created hunger. When you look at Jesus, I mean, wouldn't you get excited that every time you said a prayer, you didn't have to struggle with the doubt and the unbelief? And the complaining and the griping that comes from other Christians sometimes? Or they say, oh, you know, don't, Jesus doesn't heal everybody. Jesus, the doubt, the arrows start coming and you're trying to believe God and these things, you know, they coming at you. I remember when my dad was dying, I talked to a guy in Missouri that was a sales manager, and he was a brother in the Lord, and he said, and that's the very thing he said to me. He says, well, God doesn't heal everybody. Boy, did I need to hear that. Those aren't from the Bible. You know something? God's will is that we're healed. Isaiah 53:5, 1 Peter 2:24, other scriptures talk that we were and we are healed and we stand on the word of God. If I still kick the bucket, don't blame God. Don't blame God. There's something that was missing in my life. I'm going to blame it on me because Jesus did it all. And I believe that with my whole heart, and I don't apologize for standing on that, and nobody can tell me any different because it says it right in the word. It does. God doesn't contradict his word. He doesn't. And then we have the authority of prayer in our spiritual warfare. In Ephesians 6:18, it says, praying always with all prayer. How often? Always. Always, but we don't. We're not praying always, and we need to be praying always. When something is happening, I don't care how frivolous it may even think in your life, pray always. With is a connecting word. Paul is saying that prayer is vitally connected to his discussion of spiritual warfare and the Christian's armor that has proceeded in this verse. Prayer is the atmosphere in which you are to fight. It is the way you stay in vital daily contact with your commander constantly. Because, see, there's a laser beam on you, a spiritual laser beam on you, and the commander-in-chief, Jesus, knows it. He sees it. And he knows we need him to get victory. He knows he already defeated the devil, so he had no problem with it. You and I do. See, God is trying to grow us up, that we're no longer babies. He wants us solid men and women and truth. Instead of running here and to and fro and looking for the tickling of our ears and looking for this and that, God is saying, when will my people sit and listen to the word of God and grow up spiritually that I have an army that truly can go forth and reach a lost and dying world for all eternity where my son had come to earth and died on a cross. I want those lost souls. There's too much babysitting going on. Am I too blunt for you? I mean, if I am, you sure? Because I can dance. In other words, the way you activate the authority and use the armor described in Ephesians 6 is by prayer. Remember that. It's by prayer. Remember prayer. Paul told us to stand firm in Ephesians 6, verses 11, 13, 14. It says in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. Who puts it on? We do, don't we? He said, put on the whole armor of God that you're able to stand. You need to study the weapons of our warfare and put them on daily, every day. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, verse 13. It says in verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Amen? That's the word of God. And you know something? The Mormons, I told you this before, they have secret underwear that they wear under their clothes to protect them in their religion. Well, we don't have a secret one. We have one that's proud to tell you. I have a red suit on, and it's the blood of Jesus that I depend upon every day. It's the blood of Jesus that gives me the victory and the strength to go through each and every day. And I put that on, that red suit, you can call it if you want, but it's that precious blood of Jesus that was shed on Calvary's cross that gives me and activates us and helps us to come in communication with the Lord, with the Father. It's the blood of Jesus. And if you say it has nothing to do, yes, it does. I told you that last week. Revelation tells us point blank, we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb. Isn't that interesting? We are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. My testimony is Jesus. It's Jesus all the way. But the problem is that the devil has already taken back a lot of territory from many of the believers today. He's taken a lot of it back, what Jesus has gained in our lives. He has taken back the territory of peace from some of us. Some of us are lacking peace in our homes, in our hearts, in our lives, and wherever we're at. Satan has taken that away from believers. From others, he's taken back the territory of our homes. We have allowed Satan to come in through the television, through the internet, through culture, through whatever it is, and take back what God has given us as believers. We need to keep the weapons on moment by moment. Satan has taken back our families. He's taken back our business, our finances. From still others, the devil has taken back the authoritative position that God has given us. And we don't need to let him do that. That's through deceit he does that. We need the weapons on, and we need to activate them through prayer every single day. Every single day. Satan is always looking to take back territory that Christ has won. So if we're going to stand firm, we must know how to put armor on and how to use it, and the authority is activated through prayer. Did I say that enough yet? It's activated through prayer. The kind of prayer Paul has in mind here is intense, fervent, knowledgeable prayer that enables you to reach into heaven and make withdrawals on your spiritual account. That's the type he's talking about. We need to pray fervently, intensely. Not, I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul he take. Satan likes that prayer. Because it's not even talked about in faith. It's just a prayer that we repetitiously speak. But we need to have warring prayer. We need to resist the devil through the word of God, through the armor that he's given us to put on. How many of you can say that I put that armor on every day in my life? Don't raise your hands. But we need to do that. We need to remember to do that. It says in James 5:16, it says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Did you hear that?
Yes.
The effectual, complaining prayer of a righteous man availeth... That wasn't in there, was it? It doesn't say that. The effectual, fervent prayer of a griper? No, it doesn't say that. It says a fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman. When we are righteous in God, we are righteous. We have that breastplate of righteousness. We fervently go in. If you got grandkids, if you got children, if you got moms and dads, sisters and brothers, daughters and sons, and they need prayer, we fervently need to be lifting them up in prayer every day. The culture is after them. Daddies in the homes are the spiritual authority. You need to take it if you haven't. Brothers and sisters, we have an enemy that is out to destroy us, and he's going to do it through deception. That's what we're seeing in the natural today. Deception in the land. It's rampant everywhere. And it's in the church today. It's rampant everywhere. And Satan is taking territory away from multitudes of Christians who won't be able to stand in the end time when Jesus comes back to earth. And he is going to come back no matter what the enemy would tell your mind. He's coming back. He said he would the first time. He's coming back again. He's coming back for a church. The church is ready to go right now, whenever the Lord says it's ready to go, I should say. When that trumpet sounds, and I believe it's going to sound soon. I think it's wrapping up. God's got orchestrating the nations of the world even right now, even America. And by the way, so I don't forget to vote. Don't stay away because of you vote. You need to vote. You have to make the choice who you're going to vote for. But people, if you don't vote, you vote for whatever comes down the pike. I had a guy this week I was calling on, and he said to me, he says, oh, I'm not, and two guys were standing there, and he said, well, I was witnessing to him. It was really fun, but it turned it into, they tried to turn it into that, and they said, well, we're not going to vote. Then I said, you just voted for the problems that we're going to have in America. That's your choice. Whoever you vote for, that's your business. But if you don't vote, you choose whatever problems come up on America. You will be the one who voted for them, and you won't be able to complain. Did they like it when I said that? No. The next one is the protective power of prayer. Billy Sunday said, if you are strangers to praying, you are strangers to power. Boy, I like that one. If you're not a praying man and woman of God, then you don't know what power is, and that's why you're bored half to death with God. Because you see no power in your life, you see no power in anybody else's life. But if you're a man and woman and you are fervently on your knees before God and praying, you'll see his power manifest in your life in a way that you never thought possible. God will show up when you least expected him to show up, and he will do what you never thought he would ever do in your life. He is a God of power. And that power comes through us praying to this God. Amen? Amen. Man, I tell you, if don't blame me if you get so excited. It says in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing." Without what?
Ceasing.
Without ceasing. Without ceasing. "Because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as a word of men, but it is in truth the word of God which effectually works also in you that believe." Did you hear that? It effectually works in you and I when we put it to the test. It's going to work. The truth of the Word of God. If we're not doing it, we're not going to see the power of God. We have the fullest proof possible, the power of the Word of God working effectually in us that believe. Effectually means divine energy. Divine energy. Our job in the Christian life is not to add to what Jesus Christ has done. We don't do that. It's trying to be done today, and it's worthless, and it's deceiving, and it's taken away from what God wants. We don't add anything to it. What is in the Word is what Jesus gave us and what Jesus has done for us and did, if I got the wrong word right, done and did. Anyway, did. See, He has made all the deposits necessary for every spiritual need we'll ever have. Jesus did that. Every spiritual need that you and I have, Jesus has spiritually put it in our bank account, in a sense, you could say. Isn't that awesome? Whatever you're struggling in a spiritual warfare in your life right now, Jesus won the victory for that. He's got the superiority over it, and you can go to Him and pray and put on those weapons, and He will identify them, and He will cancel out whatever Satan's trying to do in your life if you stand true in prayer and trusting Him. To stand firm. Stand firm. When the wind blows, you don't. But you stay up. You stand firm. Amen? That's what we do. We stand firm in the Word. It's important to stand firm in the days that we live right now. I just read a thing with a pastor who was talking on that very thing. He said, when you stand for something, you're going to be rejected and you're going to be ridiculed. He said, stand firm. And I said, amen, brother. Amen. When God says we need to pray, He is inviting us to draw on the accomplishments of Jesus Christ, His Son. Isn't that awesome? See, when God the Father wants us to pray, we know we need to
pray.
Don't tell Satan, no. We need to pray. When we mean it, Satan hears it. He doesn't hear us when we're timid and when we just don't have an attitude, I don't care. He likes that. He grins big. You know, like the Joker and Batman? He loves it when Christians just say, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's what we got to do. But if we don't do it, that's where He comes in. And He keeps us complacent, apathetic in our walk with Jesus. Prayer is so potent because it provides us with spiritual protection even when the battle is in its hottest. It is in prayer that we locate the ground in which we can stand firm. See, it is reported that Emperor Napoleon once looked at a map and said, if it were not for that one red dot, I could rule the world. That red dot was the British Empire, the one place on the map Napoleon couldn't conquer. The one place. Satan is a lot like Napoleon. He looked at the cross and says, if it were not for that one red stained cross, I could have conquered the human race. If God had not become a man and entered time and space in the person of Jesus Christ, Satan could have had his victory, couldn't he? He could have had us if Jesus wouldn't have come for us. But we escape Satan's clutches because of that one stained red cross. We escaped because of Jesus. Amen. Jesus knows what is happening in your and my life and what is going to happen. Now what we need to do is stand on what Christ has done, protected from the enemy by the power of prayer. By the power of prayer. Why do you think Saint worked so hard on leadership to conform to the culture and not preach on the cross, the blood of Jesus, sin, repentance in the world, or the word in the name of Jesus? Why do you think he's hammering on leadership in churches today? Why do you think they do that? Because that's what he does. He deceives. Give the people what they want. It's a dangerous place to be. Compromise. Satan loves compromise. Satan loves complacency, apathy, compromise, I don't care attitude, or whatever it is. He loves tickling ears. I saw a guy the other night, he had big rings in his ears stretched way out, and they're about that big around. Satan loves those because he can tickle them. For a lot of us, prayer is like singing the national anthem before a ball game. It gets things started, but it has nothing to do with fellows in the field. We need to learn that warfare is praying is all about, so that prayer becomes vital to what is happening on the field of our lives. Because brothers and sisters, there's a lot happening in our lives, isn't there, on the field of life. Sickness attacks, financial problems attack, family problems attack, relationships start falling apart. There's things that Satan is always constantly trying to come against the body of Christ with. We have to be ready. Luke 18:1 says, and he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Ought always to pray and not to faint. See, that means not to lose heart. Do not give in to doubt, fear, unbelief, discouragement, or use excuses for unbelief when prayer is not answered immediately. Rebuke and resist all opposition for the answer in all the suggestions of failure. It is a divine blood-bought right to get an answer. So don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Don't give up just because it didn't happen when you think it should. Because God will fix whatever needs to be fixed as he's working on the prayer. And what you may think is late in your life is not going to be late for God. See, he knows the past all the way to the future and the immediate. And what you and I think, well, look at here, it's too late. Uncle Thomas died. Well, Uncle Thomas may have died, but God is still in control. And maybe there's something that God did in somebody else's life and Uncle Tom had to go anyway. We don't know, do we? We just have to be aware of that. And then we have the essence of prayer. The essence or the heart of prayer is communication with the Lord. As we all know, good communication involves both talking and listening. You may be saying, that's too simple. Give me something complex. And brother and sister, that's part of the problem. We're looking for some deep mystery about prayer when the reality of it is right in front of us. If prayer is communication with God, then in order to communicate with God effectively, we need to know something about him, don't we? We need to know and understand his greatness. We need to study about the things of God in his word so we know what a great God it is that we're going to with our prayers. Many believers pray to God who is too small. Listen to this now. Many believers pray to God who is too small by their lack of understanding about God and their failure to appropriate his power. They reduce God to a micro force in their life. And that's what's happening today. We're bringing God down to where we are, to our level, instead of raising him up, or we don't raise him. He is who he is. He's the mighty God. He's the commander-in-chief of the whole world. He is God. He is King. He is Lord. He is Creator. He is all in all. And we need to reverence that, brothers and sisters. We need to reverence that through prayer. Some people walk around haughty saying, hey, you know, boasting, hey, I'm a child of the daddy upstairs. You know, we need to reverence the God of the universe when we come to him in prayer too. When we call Jesus an awesome dude or the big man upstairs and so forth, we bring him to our limitations in size. We do. Let me tell you, if your God is small, your prayers are going to be small. Did you know that? I don't want God like me. I know me. I don't want him, nothing like me. And if your prayers are small, you're a target for the enemy. Did you know that? Satan's scared of saints who believe in a big God. Satan is fearful of Christians who come before God and they know that this God is the God of the impossible, that nothing is impossible for him. That's how we come before him, the mighty God. Knowing the God we are praying to also involves the understanding that prayer is not some magical formula by which we make God appear to do our bidding, right? Some people have the idea that prayer is persuading God to do what we want him to do. That's not what it's about. But prayer is not getting God to conform to us. Prayer is conforming ourselves to God. When we come before him in prayer, we become like him as he begins to move upon our life and our ways. We become like him, and that's his desire, for us to be like the Lord, not him to be like us, as we have nothing to offer. We're dirt. Like one man always says, we all come from the same piece of mud. Every one of that brings us down real fast, doesn't it? That brings humility to us to realize exactly where we are. When you and I kick the bucket and we go down in the ground, we turn to dust. That's what we are. But God isn't. He's forever. So when you go to him in prayer, he can prop this dust up. And he can use us the way he wants to on this earth to reach a lost and dying world. Amen? The necessity of prayer. Prayer is necessary because the battle we are fighting is spiritual. Prayer is necessary because it's through prayer that we engage the spiritual realm. When we pray, things happen in the heavenlies. That's why I said Wednesday night, when we were praying, something is happening in the heavenlies. That's why when you come together in prayer or do it in your home, get excited when you come before God. It isn't by how you feel when you're praying or if you're angry or if you're happy or you're emotional. It's that you come to prayer knowing that you're coming before God, that you are going into the heavenlies and you're fighting that spiritual warfare and you have a God that is a God that make it happen. Amen? Amen. I get excited when I think about it. He hears the cry of the afflicted, it says in Job 34, 28. The Lord hears and delivers, it says in Psalms 34, 17. He hears the prayers of the righteous, it says in Proverbs 15, 29. That should get you excited right there alone and make you want to do a two-step. Amen? He hears. That's why when we get to heaven and we stand before him, we don't need to stand there and bawl and whine and gripe and complain and say, God, you didn't hear me. God said, yeah, I did. No, he didn't. God said, yeah, I did. It's in his word. He said he heard us. He heard us. He heard us. You know, that's why, you know, I say stuff like that because we need to take the word of God seriously. This would be just like Jesus himself standing talking to us. That's his word. He said he heard us. Our Heavenly Father, who loves us, created us in his image, created us with all the different personalities and ways in here. He created us all exactly the way he wants us, and he said he heard us. I believe he did. I believe he did. Prayer is also necessary because of spiritual resistance in the heavenly realm. It says in Daniel 10, Daniel is told that the answer to his prayer was delayed 3 weeks by a demon called the Prince of Persia. 3 weeks. Daniel's prayer was heard and answered the first day he prayed. Did you know that? It was. It was heard and it was answered the very same. Even though it was delayed 3 weeks, it was already answered. You got to read that. But it took 3 weeks of intercessory prayer and activity on the parts of angels, especially the archangel Michael, the archangel, to break the demonic blockade and get the answers through. See, we have to realize, again, this is a spiritual warfare, and Satan puts up blockades, roadblocks, to try to hinder, to bring doubt, to bring unbelief, to bring fear into our lives when we feel we need that answer right now on the spot. We may know that and think it in our own hearts, but God sees the future, and we need to realize that there may be a blockade that Satan puts up, and that's when you need to be on your knees praying hard and break down that blockade through the power of the Holy Spirit, amen? Because Satan puts up blockades to hinder what God wants to do in your and my life. It happened to Daniel. When we pray properly, God puts out a restraining order against all the power of darkness. Isn't that awesome? The scope of prayer. The scope of prayer is also included in Ephesians 6:18. We are to pray at all times and with perseverance and petition for all saints. Amen? Amen. Paul also says to pray all the time with perseverance. Don't hang up on God too soon. Don't hang up on Him. We do that. We hang up on Him too soon. I've heard Christians say that. Well, I prayed. God didn't answer. So I just gave up. Well, you just gave up the answer. You just gave it up. You never give it up. You stand on it until it's answered. You stand on it. If it's within God's will, if it's in God's will, God's not going to give you a bomb to sit on the mantelpiece in the middle of your house because you're upset. Don't pray for that. Won't happen. But God loves it when He hears humble hearts come before Him and trust Him for the needs in our life, the needs of other people's lives, and when we want to grow spiritually, and when we have, if we have sicknesses or financial needs or anything that we have, He loves it because He says, I am Father. I am Father. And see, our Father is a humble Father too. He's not like man where he gets bold because he's got all this power. God's a humble God. He's so humble that He came to earth in flesh and died on a cross. That's how humble He is. How many of us would do that? That's how humble Jesus is. That's why you can go to Him in prayer and know that this here loving Heavenly Father is just sitting there with attentive ears saying, just pour out your heart to me. Let me know the rejection. Let me know the hurt. Let me know the separation. Let me know the issues. I am able to take care of every answer you have. Nothing is too complicated for the Father. Nothing. Amen. You still with me? You still with me? It's not. What time is it?
Don't worry about that. Don't worry about it.
I'm trying to get out of here by 5. First Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. If you and I are going to see this thing work, it must be a controlling agenda of our lives. We need to pray when we feel like it, and we need to pray when we don't feel like it. Anybody that is serious about prayer can tell you that real prayer is hard work. It's real hard work. Why is that? Because this is a war. Satan does not want you to pray at all. It's a warfare. Every time you go to prayer, there's a warfare that will take place. He will also make you too tired. Everybody got tired when you started to pray? Huh? How about distraction? All of a sudden the phone rings. The kids get up. Something's happening when you go to God in prayer. Something, there's a spiritual warfare that takes place when you determine that you're going to pray. The best method Satan has for keeping you from praying is keeping you too busy to get around to praying. Amen? Especially in this world we live in today. Let me give you a word of encouragement here. The more intimate your relationship with God is, the easier the work of prayer is. Amen? Fall in love with Jesus. Fall in love with your Heavenly Father so much that you miss Him when you're not talking to Him. And if you're married, you understand that when you have a communication with a spouse, too, when you love that spouse, that communication is listening to it. It's not a two-word conversation, but it's something that goes on. My wife and I were in a restaurant not very long ago, and there's a couple, and they were celebrating their 52nd anniversary, and they weren't even talking to each other. I don't know what they're celebrating. Maybe the number 52, I don't know. But you know something? We keep it fresh with our Heavenly Father through prayer. If you're not praying, it's because you don't love Jesus maybe as much as you should, because you don't miss Him. That's just Lynn theory. I'm just spitting that out as a human being to you. We need to fall in love with Jesus. We need to fall in love with our Heavenly Father that, no, He is so ready to answer. He is more ready to answer our prayer than you are, wanting it answered. Isn't that awesome? Because it's the truth. It's the truth. It still takes work, but it's more enjoyable when we're communicating with someone we love. Maybe that's why we don't see more answered prayer and miracles in our lives. James 4, 2 and 3 says this is, and this is really speaking to backsliders, but it still fits in certain areas. It says, "Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because you ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust." See, these two passages should never be taken by the Christian as an excuse for unanswered prayer. By doing so, we automatically class ourselves as lustful, murderous, covetous, adulterous, worldly, proud, sinful, and blasphemous. It is any wonder why God does not answer the prayers of such people, amen? Would you? I wouldn't. No man can ask amiss if he or she is in Christ Jesus and ask according to his promises. Ephesians 6:18 also says we need to pray for all the saints. Why? Because we're not in this by ourselves, brothers and sisters, are we? Remember, the Lord's Prayer is not "My Father who art in heaven." It doesn't say that, does it? It says "Our Father who art in heaven." The Christian life is a family affair. And then we have the perspective of prayer. And I'm getting close to the end. I know you don't believe me, but I am. When we pray, we enter into a whole other realm. We enter into the heavenlies, and it will help give you a different perspective. Every time you and I enter prayer, we're going into a new realm. We're going into the heavenlies. Do you know how things look from window of an airplane? How many have ridden in airplanes in here? Everybody in here? When you look out of that airplane window, everything looks so organized down on the ground. The fields are all nice and square, and everything looks so cool and organized. But when you're on the ground, it looks all in disarray, doesn't it? Nothing looks uniform, but from an airplane, it looks beautiful. I've looked at that many times and said, how do they get those fields so straight and so square on those little tractors down there? They're only that big. Then I remember I'm in an airplane. No matter how chaotic things are on the ground, from high, everything looks great, and that's the way it is in our prayer life, too. That's what prayer does for you. Our problem is that we have been on the ground too long. We've lost the divine perspective of what God has from where he's at. When that happens, we begin operating to the wisdom from below, not the wisdom from above. That's why we have backslidden Christians today. That's why we have Christians that are dabbling in the things of the world and becoming like the world, because they've been on the ground too long. They're not looking from God's perspective. They're looking from the world's perspective, and they're becoming at the very thing they're looking at. Amen? Amen. Any wisdom that claims salvation or victory in any way or manner other than the cross is no wisdom from above. James 3:15, and this is addressing bitterness, envy, strife in our hearts in regards to human wisdom. From verse 14, it says in verse 15, "This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish." That means Satan gets you thinking and acting the way he wants you to think. That's why it's important to get heavenly wisdom by communicating with heaven, with heaven. And then back in 6:18 Ephesians, it says, Paul instructs us to pray in the Spirit. And this is the Holy Spirit. We are to pray in his power and his strength and his spiritual insight that he provides. How do you know when you are praying in the Spirit? First, pointing out the scriptures, being in the Spirit is always contrasted with being in the flesh. It says in 1 Corinthians 2:9-13, "But as it is written, eye have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." That's awesome. "But God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom," which are corrupted wisdom, I inserted, "but which the Holy Ghost teaches," which is an understanding of the Word of God, I inserted, "comparing spiritual things with spiritual." See, notice that those that live in the Spirit-dominated sphere or environment are the ones to whom the things of God, even the deep things, are revealed. When we're in the Word of God and we're praying, that's when God reveals himself and the Word into your life at the right time, at the right moment, when you need it, when you are in prayer with God. Your spirit is in connection with his Spirit when you're in the Word and praying to him. You can't just read the Bible once, but you need to read it over and over with prayer. When you start to read the Bible, ask the Holy Spirit to open it to you and guide. And many times you'll find yourself, you may be going in looking for something and you end up reading and the Holy Spirit talking to you about a whole new thing in your life that you weren't even thinking about, that you needed to hear. You see why it's important to have a spiritual thought and a spiritual life with the Lord? If we're going to pray in the Spirit and find authority and power for spiritual warfare, we need the revealing work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen? Romans 8, 26, 27 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. That means our physical, our mental, or moral weaknesses, flaws. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. With groanings that cannot be uttered. There's something going on in you and I that we don't know about that God does, and He knows what's being uttered through those groanings. The word groaning in verse 26 means unutterable gushings of the heart. Things that cannot be properly put into words. Verse 27 says, and he that searches the heart knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. See, the overriding goal of the Spirit is to carry out the will of God in our lives, not our personal wills, in other words. The Spirit is not a glorified bellhop. Always remember that. In Acts 7:34 says, I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groanings and am come down to deliver them. Isn't that awesome? He says, I have seen the affliction of my people, and I've heard their groanings. If you're in a spiritual warfare, there's a lot of times a groaning that's going on within your being that maybe you don't even hear it, but God is sitting there. I hear the depth of their heart. I hear it. Here's why it's important to pray in the Spirit. If you and I think like the world, we'll pray like the world. If we learn to think like the Spirit, we'll pray in the Spirit. To pray in the Spirit gives a mindset that comes from God. We have too many Christians who are getting their thought patterns from the world today. When Christians think like the world, we pray like the world. We do. We pray along the world's lines, and even in our families' lives, we're praying along the world and said, Lord, bless them with this and that, instead of saying, God, call their hearts back to me, back to you. Do a spiritual work in their lives. Meaning that Christians start doing the things the world is doing, and then they start saying, in effect, well, I haven't sunk as low as other people out there. As long as I pray one notch above the world, I'm okay. That's what happens when our thinking patterns are formed by the world, but God wants us to think spiritually. You notice that today, even the evangelical church, even on the news they're reporting, the evangelicals are accepting homosexuality now today as normal. You ever notice the commercials, all the nice families with children and everything, and trying to promote that it's good even amongst children? It's dangerous. But Christians are even getting involved in it because they're looking. They're not spiritually thinking anymore. They're worldly thinking. And you may say, well, I don't like hard preaching. It's not hard preaching anyway to me. There's a lot of pastors standing in pulpits this morning. They're preaching the Word of God. That's not hard. We need to hear it. We need to hear it. How do we get Spirit-directed thoughts? Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 2:13. In other words, the only place you're going to find spiritual thinking is in a spiritual book. And there's only one perfect spiritual book. What is that? It's the Bible. It's the only book. We sometimes pray prayers that have nothing to do with God's revealed word. They don't reflect His thinking at all. Think about what you're praying about. God is only going to answer prayer that is consistent with His Word. So you and I must allow ourselves to be captivated by the mind of Christ, which comes to us of the Spirit of God and combines the spiritual thoughts of God with the spiritual words of God that comes through His book. Then we will be addressing the Spirit's concern in a Spirit's way. Start accessing your authority in prayer, and Jesus Christ will give you victory because He already won the victory in the heavenly places. Two good ending scriptures I got here. Revelation 5:8 says, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts, and gentlemen, you can get ready for communion here. We'll go into that. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Whew. How many times have you dropped your knees and cried out to God? Huh? They're in the heavenlies before God. He sees them and he hears them. He's working. He's working. Revelation 8:4 says, "And the smoke of the incense, which came up with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand." Your prayers came from here to the heavenlies before God, out of the angel's hands before God. Isn't that incredible? Doesn't that motivate you to think that we have a God that we serve like that, that is able to see those prayers and he's hearing them and he's looking at them? All the heartache, all the cries, all the turmoil, even all the joys, he hears them, sees them, answers them. Amen? Praise the Lord. We're going to take communion now. Thank you for bearing with me. These two messages got a little bit long, not that much. I'm not a 25-minute emergent church pastor, so you got to bear with me. I remember when pastors would preach an hour and a half, nobody would think a thing of it. But you know something, brothers and sisters? How many in here again? And you don't even need to raise your hands or anything, stand right now, but you're in a spiritual warfare in your life right now.